Welcome to the Self-Study Project, a podcast to deepen your practice through reflection with co-hosts Jenna Baird and Stephanie Gibson.
As much as I like to keep our podcasts neutral based on the dates and the times of year and things like that, I've reached a point where every day seems to that we're going through right now seems to be something historical, something that's making history. And so we're just going to say it. We're going to say Happy New Year. I mean, this is January 2021, and we have just come through a pretty big year in our lifetimes. And it's strange to think how much what we're in right now is actually going to be written into history books. Mm-hmm. You know, history books are something I often don't really relate to because they're all written from a long time ago. But, you know, today we are discussing the divide that the world seems to be residing within and how we can move through this time without taking to anyone's side and further creating the divide, yet not just be ostriches with our heads in the sand, which is sometimes what it's perceived as. If you're not all caught up in it, then you're an ostrich. recently, you were telling me, Jenna, didn't you read something on social media that presented a solution that resonated with you?
Yeah, there was a post and I was just like, wow, this is great to see. And she was asking basically like, hey, I see a lot of divide. What's a way we can create more unity? So she said, please just put all like no arguments, right? Just put exactly how you feel we could create more peace in the world. And I loved reading through it. I thought it was like really powerful. And then so one of the things that I wrote in that I just think is like would be amazing if we can get to this place where we say to others, like, you know, having conversations with other people that have opposing views. And that if we would listen more and acknowledge and be okay with just like talking with people, I think we may not feel as much hatred, right? Or like, why do they believe that way? We might actually find out that we might have more in common and more similarities than we don't. And so It was just a really cool opportunity to see someone really wanting to put out solutions and to read through that. So I was really enjoying that. And
Because it's one thing to constantly put up the problem, which happens all over, you know, all the time. Like, here's the problem. And we just get people posting problems without solutions. And if you don't agree with their interpretation of the problem, then you're part of the problem, which is not true.
Right.
That is very fascinating to actually create a solution. And also, so often I don't think we really know it. I don't think this is done on purpose necessarily, but people listen to respond. They don't listen to create understanding, to better understand this other person that you're sharing space and time with. It is just like almost from the get-go, like, oh, they're talking. I already have what I'm going to say.
Oh, true. Right.
Off, you know, yep. Opposed to, let me try to understand why you so fervently hold your position. And perhaps we should be done with so staunchly holding our positions as well as instead of creating understanding.
Yeah, I think that this time is really showing that, like, one of the things that just came through for me is that we really need to step out of the plurality of things. And It's such a toxic paradigm, and that we're really being called energetically to rise above some of this like very black, white, right, wrong, you know, type of thinking. And so there's an opportunity here that we can have to really, you know, check in with that personal paradigm and in what ways are we holding, like, and not even holding on to maybe some of the old ways, like, is the world trying to create a new, better structures? Because it very much feels like to me that are we holding on maybe to some of the old structures and maybe scared for what maybe we need to build? Because maybe we need to build something entirely different that's based on more unity, that's based on more connection, because there's these cycles through history. So I do love in that way that history kind of like is a teacher in that way, where there's opportunities for us to learn from history and then realize, wow, there's a lot of fear in the unknown, and that we can think back to, of our ancestors and how much courage they must have had when certain things were going on in their society at that time. But yeah, mm-hmm. there's this amazing, actually, documentary. It's like 3 hours long. I'm actually only an hour in, but, and it's kind of dry, but it's really, it's like good information if you can just kind of go through it. But it's called The Century of the Self, and the, it talks about like how psychology, psychoanalysts is used, like early in the 1940s, for example, they reached out to Freud, you know, famous psychologist, right? Mm-hmm. And so, people in government, you know, to learn how do people think, right? How can we drive populations to do certain things? And so, interesting enough, this is done politically to like use emotions or to kind of herd people into certain ways. And mm-hmm. even I've heard this somewhere too, outside of the documentary, where it's like, oh, tell me now what's next. How is the media, what's next for the media to make, how does it going to make me feel? Basically, like it's driving us to feel a certain way. And so it's like, what am I going to be mad at next? Right? Because it's going to feed us the information and we're going to be mad. And I get it. There's a lot to that, but how much of this is to manipulate us? And so I love that there's this like past of documentation of like when, like, for example, there was, you know, they often use psychoanalysis to see how to drive profits. And so in the early, like, I believe 1940s or somewhere in that time, they realized that people actually didn't buy out of fluff. The majority of the people only bought out of necessity. They didn't have more than one pair of shoes, you know, all these things. So they're like, how can we get people to buy more? Because they're very simplistic. And one of the things was is at that time, men only smoked, right? And so that generated a lot of profits. It was also very much like men smoked, women didn't. And so they looked very like, they felt kind of like they had their own thing and powerful. Mm-hmm. And so what this...
Yeah, that's right. There are smoke rooms. Like men go to the, they retire to the smoke room. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. And so they wanted to drive profits up. So they reach out to... you know, psychologist that understands the mind to derive these profits. And so it's all based on emotions. And so what happened was is how they decided to kind of get more women smoking was that they were going to create the idea, the slogan, so to speak, was that they called it like a freedom torch. So like thinking of like the cigarette, is a freedom torch,
A men versus women, that women can do what they want to, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that type of thing. So And it's kind of that idea, like really, if we actually think about it, like how ridiculous is it? Because nothing about smoking is freedom. But yet we can believe that for a moment, like you're carrying that in your hand. It's like, guys can do it. I can do it, right? So it's just kind of like, it's totally fueling us to believe an illusion that we're free, but in actuality, there's nothing free about it. But that constantly happens and it's very subtle. So I think that we definitely want to be mindful of like how much is being influenced to drive us, whether politically or whether it's to buy a certain product or to live a certain way. Yeah.
That's so infuriating and fascinating. Yeah. And you can see, because I am in marketing, and I try so hard not to fall into the same pattern that you market to people's pain. And that's what, you know, a lot of pharmaceutical industry does, and why many countries still do not allow pharmaceuticals to advertise on television. There are no billboards on sides of roads in certain countries. Like you go through Belgium and there's just nothing marketing to you as you drive through the countryside, and there are no television ads to sell pharmaceuticals. It's between your symptoms, your discussion, and the doctor, as opposed to the marketing that appeals to your pain on television, where everyone can, you know, everyone has a chemical or a hormone reaction to certain things. And for, you know, maybe to appeal to the mother or the woman of age for childbirthing, there will be babies and soft, cuddly things. And you're now intrigued and you're looking and you're drawn in. And then you're like, do you have these everyday common pains that the majority of people have? Well, you might need the following medication. Or with regards to what you just said, the freedom is that they appealed to the emotional pain of the time, which was the separation between women and men's rights. They couldn't try that same marketing approach today. And it appealed to enough of the pain between men and women right now. The pain between men and women right now has to do with whether or not women can make as much as men, let's say. Yeah. That because there are now more freedoms, that's kind of where you can start marketing to that. Or even in my, you know, marketing programs, it's a sad reality that we often won't make changes or listen to what someone else has to say until we've gone through some pretty dark periods of pain. Pain being not necessarily physical, but illness, injury, disease, a state of not ease, whether that be financial, that means your pain has to do with income. You know, whatever your pain is, the marketing will grab you there and lure you in, and you will immediately relate, like, you know, hey, do you wake up in the morning and open your eyes? Yeah. Yeah, that's me. Do you get up and have to pee? Yeah, that's how they're talking to me. You know, like, yeah. And so now you're lured in. And if you, yeah, it's an infuriating and fascinating thing. And I try so hard not to market to the pain. And actually, you do this really well. You write in your approach and in your media and in your classes, you appeal to what people are going through without selling that one stance or thing, you know, even yoga, like you yoga and you surf, you're not here to, you know, advocate that yoga is the only path to, you know, unification of the mind and body and breath. And, you know, it's, but we get so caught up and so staunchly, you know, in our viewpoint that we think that you resonate with my pain, that, you know, we have the same pain, then you must automatically conclude and assume the following, and that, and, you know, you automatically need this. Or, you know, there's a quote by Dr. Joe Dispenza that I love, and it's, your personality becomes your personal reality. Your personality becomes your personal reality. And and that's why, in that realization, your personal reality, you have your experiences. The women in the 40s, they have their experiences of not having the freedoms of men, and so they are willing sometimes to change their personality to create a different personal reality. And other times, people are so strongly in it that if you aren't like me, you're the problem. And that's the divide you were talking about, the polarization, when we need to create more unity.
Right. Yeah. And there's
unity in our pain.
Oh, right. I know. And there's, you know, there's things that we do out of necessity and things we do out of fear and things we can find like our driving force. But it's interesting when we're like, dude, I've been manipulated this whole time, you know, like that's mm-hmm. not a fun feeling when we think about, okay, wait, mm-hmm. they've been doing this a long time on social media and those types of things, like manipulating us and how we have to look. Like right now on Instagram, it's like, you know, the trend of having a great butt, right? Or, you know, it's like, yeah. what trends are they going to drive next? And are we going to want to be a part of that? Or do we want to just like really love our lives genuinely and not want to reach for things that really don't make us feel good? And so separation, right? And our, so if we think about the state of the ego, it's all about separation. It's like, I'm a man on my own island. Mm-hmm. everybody's in my way. I'm right. You're wrong. Right. And we all know the ego. We hear it. It's all a part of us, and it's our lower vibrational frequency. It's also called our reptilian brain. But when we hear ourselves act that way, we can almost think of our inner child and just be like, oh yeah, there's the ego talking. But do we want to make sure that we're self-reflective and have an opportunity to see what's driving us, maybe like in our views and such. But when I was in Nicaragua, I recently wrote an article, and it was in my early 20s, you know, with a friend and my sister, and we wanted to travel to warm ocean water and just like experience culture. Totally told it, hey, it's too dangerous, don't go. But I'm so grateful that I did. But there's a lot that I could share about that trip. But there's this one particular experience that I wanted to highlight, and that was in Costa Rica. And we were just coming out of the mountains. We actually had met other travelers in Monteverde, and we were like just seeing this epic, beautiful rainforest. And it was my first time ever seeing the rainforest. And I was like blown away how beautiful the planet is, and blown away about how much water, you know, coming from California, and so much greenery. And so we were coming out of the mountain in a bus with like just a travel bus, and all of a sudden it stops, and there, and some of the road was sketchy too, like around these corners, you know, but we're all of a sudden needing to stop, and I'm like, oh goodness, like what's going on? And so we stop, and they're like, yeah, you need to get out. And not knowing like Spanish super, super well, but I started to gain a lot of understanding of Spanish by that point, because it was at the end of the trip. But we had to, you know, walk to the next bus station. And why is because there was a semi truck kind of thing that carried produce or some type of products. It was literally like across the road blocking it. So no one could go up, no one could go down. And later come to find out the reason for that is that the truck drivers were not being paid fair wages. So they were taking a stance against their government. And as the citizens saying, we no longer accept this, we need a better pay. And I thought, what a powerful way, like, and really, I guess this still happens when they need it to, and they get what they need. And so basically their wages went up. And so, but a lot of that is like, you know, not driven from a place, because a lot of people tell, if we really look at travel and the way that they were the most manipulated in the United States and driven by profits, and they're not so much. So that's what I value, that they were really driven from a place of need. And so
basic needs not being met. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and that's like a lot of times in revolutions or things that happen from our ancestors, like these powerful ways of like creating a sense of like, this is what I need, show up, make things happen. And so, and what would happen if we all, you know, in a way have this more unity of becoming more, you know, like understanding of each other's values and needs, and it, even like protecting the rights of freedom, even if it's not our way of thinking, like our way of like our healthcare. Like for me, I'm like always going to be like, I want to stand up for your right to not, and for my right to do, or vice versa. Right. Yeah. Cause in a lot of things it can be like, I want this and I'm not going to want this, but I want my right to choose that. And I also want that right for anyone else to also have that right, you know?
Right. And that's the beauty of not taking any one side, whether it be allopathic medicine, holistic medicine. Why are there sides? You know, in fact, as a trained holistic health practitioner, we are trained in what's called complementary alternative medicine. And that is to complement the choices that you make. Or, you know, even when I worked for this, you know, company that provided nutrition for those going through critical healthcare and conditions. And the point was to support them, whether they were choosing chemotherapy or a natural route. It's your choice. It's your right. And they're, just because you choose this versus that doesn't actually make it black and white. And, oh, well, you must automatically be that. Or politically, you know, I have voted both parties before in my life, and I don't, it's because it's coming down to the message and the values. And if you can, most people just want the shiny thing without understanding or diving deeper through introspection and self-evaluation to realize what their core needs are. They just act on the surface and by impulse, rather than realizing that your stance, your fight, your willingness to rise is inherently to fight for your freedom, no matter what that desire is. And like you said, so what we should be doing is unifying our desire for freedom and the right to choose, rather than saying, well, what it is you want in your personal freedom is not right, and therefore I'm going to fight against you for against your freedoms. And we see that drastically right now in so many ways.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, and that's one of the things that I've just really have made a huge stand in 2020 is where it started. And I, towards the end, I'm like, I will no longer, this is my own kind of inner stance, that I will no longer accept or welcome anything of plurality or divide. And I will have to really sit with that, because I'll be like, okay, does this create unity or does this create divide, right? And so it's asking that question internally. But I personally am going to stand on that. And I really believe that as caretakers of this planet, that maybe we all ask that. Maybe we find ways to really to be that good caretaker and to step out of the right versus left, the, you know, you're wrong, I'm right. And because if we're at more of a round table like idea, and we actually hear each other's, you know, views, and we come together, we might actually create something a lot better, and almost letting kind of the old structures go away, creating and noticing that we have an opportunity to create new, better opportunities and new better ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're saying is we need to bring back Camelot and the Round Table and Arthur.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, bring back the Round Table. Yeah. And I think for people listening, you know, it sometimes is a matter of, well, the reality is around me that there is a divide. So, you know, imagine it's like a cliff and there's a river down the middle, and the river is the divide. And, you know, you start to walk towards the middle so that you can better understand the other side. And all of a sudden you don't see them anymore because they fell into the river, but they're going with the flow. And they, let's all jump in to the river, you know, like the we don't need the divide anymore. We'll just go with the flow of the changes that are being shown to us that are necessary right now. And the biggest thing that I want people to realize is that based on the electromagnetic nature of all living things, if you change your frequency, you leave an energetic imprint of you and the frequency and the energy that you have on something behind. Literally, in your office chair as you leave each day is a signature that is palpable to something that can sense energy. There are things that can detect even the temperature that you were there. You cut off a leaf and photograph it with Krillian photography, and you see what used to be there. We have a signature. So if you work on your own energy, there's a quote I love by Carolyn Mace, author of The Anatomy of the Spirit. And she says, I don't need to work in the physical world to have impact or be powerful. It is enough for me to work in the energy world. So if you want to create these changes, you know, Jenna and everyone in listening, you know, be, I know it's cliche, but it's just too true, as most cliche things are, be that change. Listen more, listen to understand instead of to respond. Maintain your energy and be what you want to see more of in the world, instead of becoming something you actually don't want, which, let's just, as an example, I'm going to go become violent right now just so I can make a point that we don't need violence in the world. That doesn't work. You know, we have to be the energy that we're asking the world to shift into. And that requires us to do the energy work. And it requires us, I think, though, and this is what we've gotten away from in society and in healthcare and in government, is we have grown so accustomed to giving away our power, even our power as to, am I healthy? Am I not healthy? Well, I don't know. I must go to the doctor. They must test me. They will tell me if I'm healthy or not. When there's an inner knowing, there's an inner compass, there is intuition, there's also following and listening to the subtle signs the body gives you that we have lost sight of doing, and intuition. That if we brought that back, we have, and your cells know more than even you know, but you know more than your doctor knows if you listen. We know what your neighbor needs just by energy. We can meet someone who doesn't speak the same language as us, and we know their needs by being around them long enough. We are around people speaking a different language right now in energetic and literal and figurative terms, and we know what it is they want, but let's become the energy instead of become something we actually don't want more of. It's that whole thing of stop telling the story of anything or everything that you actually no longer want. Just become what you do want. And that signature, as you pass by your neighbor, they feel it. It's that person who every time they leave the room, you feel so good and you don't know why. All they did was come into the room and left, and now you're happy. Or the person who does the opposite, that every time you see them, you end up in a bad mood. It's that energy. It's that invisible anatomy that we have lost track of how to manage and feel. It's the, even in yoga, it's the meridians, the nadis, the chakras, the aura. It's a registerable by science and palpable energy that creates magnetism, just like the invisible nature of putting two batteries either facing one another or flip them around and you're polarized. How it's working. And we need to turn around and listen, and we will gravitate even toward what we all mutually want, which is ultimately freedom. And we need to surrender to that by becoming what it is you want, you know, to have happen.
Yeah.
But man, such a big subject, isn't it?
It is. But I like how that really does cut it to back to self. And like you said, we all have an energetic language, and just maybe tapping in, noticing what is the energy we're projecting into the world? What are we feeling into that container? And that we often underestimate, you know, some of the simplistic daily day things that are really, really important. And there's this great song with Lucas Nelson and Willie Nelson's son. And I love it. Mm-hmm. It's a great song. And it was like, it came out early in 2020 after like kind of COVID hit. But just briefly, some of the words, it says, "I believe that every heart is kind. Some are just a little underused. Hatred is a symptom of the times lost in these uneducated blues. I just want to love you all I can. And all other thoughts have me confused. Now I don't need to try and understand. Maybe I'll get up, turn off the news." And it says, turn off the news and build a garden. That's like the main thing. It mm-hmm. says that over time. It says, just my neighbor and me, we might feel a bit less hardened. We might feel a bit more free. Turn off the news and raise the kids. Give them something to believe in. Teach them how to be good. Give them hope that they can see. Hope that they can see. Turn off the news and build a garden. And it's like, yes, that's perfect. Yes. Let's do that. You know, and remembering yes. that what our interactions are, like that's what I tell after yoga and after Shavasana. It's like, put that Shavasana in your pocket and carry it with you through your day. Like noticing, like mm-hmm. I lifted my vibrational frequency. That's why we do yoga a lot, or meditate, or be outside. Those are all amazing things to lift our vibration, mm-hmm. and then carry mm-hmm. that with you and have a lighter step in your day. That's going to create more mm-hmm. unity, less divide, because you're going to feel that every interaction, like how you can create a better sense of connection and yeah, and unity. Yeah.
Oh, that's so, I got chills. I love that song too.
Yeah.
And that's one of those instances where genetics blows my mind on how much he sounds like Willie Nelson
yeah.
too. Like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
It's weird, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Clint Eastwood's son too. They look just like, it's so weird. Genetics are crazy awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a matter of, can you work towards getting along with your literal direct neighbor mm-hmm. or the people in your building or your household? Work on the micro and stop working so much on the macro, which is a very fascinating reality, that because when you work on the micro, you are affecting the macro. But if you can't even make it smaller and downsize it and say, it's kind of like the idea of a diet. And, you know, I want to lose 30 pounds. Or let's say that, you know, I actually want to be a physically active person engaged in arts and crafts on a daily basis, yada, yada, yada. Well, it really comes down to whether or not the life you live each day is representing the life that you want to have. Because if you don't live each day in alignment with the life you want to have, when is it ever going to start? You becoming physically, you becoming healthy, you losing maybe a half pound per day, you getting along with your neighbor. If you can't work on that daily, tangible, bite-sized little bits, then how is it ever going to emanate from day to day into something bigger? It's a ripple. You gotta be a good droplet.
Yeah, that shows that beautiful momentum.
Well, I am totally, yeah, it's great. I'm totally gonna get off the podcast and listen to that song, because it is a good one, and I think everyone should. And just to recap too, it's called The Century of the Self. Is that documentary?
It's a documentary, yeah.
And where is it on? Where did you watch it?
Yeah, it's YouTube. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for listening, and definitely send us questions if you have any comments, feedback. We love to hear it. And as always, thank you, Jenna, for your amazing contribution to the self-study project.
And you too. Thank you. This was fun to chat and be together. Take care.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Self-Study Project, a podcast to deepen your practice through reflection, with co-hosts Jenna Baird and Stephanie Gibson. Subjects cover holistic health, nutrition, yoga, philosophy, spirituality, astrology, parenting, relationships, conscious living, sustainable practices, and so much more. At no time does this podcast offer medical advice and is for educational purposes only. It remains your decision to pursue any information, and do not hold your hosts or their guests liable. More information available at theselfstudyproject.com.